Let's go to the power of his resurrection. I'm going to go to Philippians, but before we get there, your first verse I'd like you to go to, and pull out your Bibles. If you don't have a Bible with you, somebody can help you find one on the back. There are plenty of Bibles in Scripture, in Scriptures here this morning. I'm going to go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And Pastor Sherry's favorite book is? Colossians. You talk to her about the book of Colossians, she can really bring you some messages. Fantastic. Last Sunday was Easter. Resurrection Sunday. A celebration for resurrection. Far too many Christians celebrate bunnies and eggs and chocolate and pretty dresses and a good ham dinner. Did you hear what I said? Spurgeon, Charles C. Spurgeon, said this. Listen carefully. Very few Christians believe in the resurrection. Spurgeon, back in his time, said very few Christians believe in the resurrection. And the word belief is pistis and faith, and it's all full of what you actually lived, your life be lived at. Your life tells you the story of whether or not you're really a believer. What do you do? Not just Sunday morning, but what do you do Sunday afternoon through till the next Saturday night and Sunday morning? What does your life live and look like? Do you really believe in the resurrection? Now, a lot of people believe in the doctrine, but very few believe in and receive the power of his resurrection. And we are not to leave it as meaningless truth sitting at the side. I want to ask you again, how does Jesus affect your daily life? That was the point of that little mini movie. His word, the Bible, the Scriptures. Hold up the Bible to your heart. I love the Bible. You know I'm crazy, okay? When I was in college, it's not just back then, but I used to go to bed every night holding the Bible in my heart. Jesus, hide your word in my heart. That's not, you got to study it, you got to read it, not just hold it. But then, without the Scriptures, we would not know the word and the character and the ways of God. And so thank God for the Bible. But his word should inform our very daily lives. The Bible says you're transformed by the renewing of your minds. How do you get transformed? How do you become more like Jesus? And I want to see a show of hands. How many really want to be more like Jesus? How do you get there? Surrendering to him and studying his word. And not just reading, but reading. Being bathed by, washed by the power of his word and studying his word. And Jesus then changes every aspect of our life. So, seek Jesus and be transformed. Colossians 3, 1 through 4. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. If you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are where? Above. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Now read the next phrase with me, please. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Now, church, the reality is, hang in there with me, the reality is, some people want glory someday, and they don't want to be salt and light today. Some people want easy believism, rather than preaching and teaching from the Scripture that says, take up your cross, how often? Daily. And follow him. Some people want all grace. How many know you were saved by grace through the blood of Jesus? But some people want all grace. No discipline, certainly no judgment. They want to get saved now and go to heaven someday, but do you know and understand, and please boom it out if you do, that's only the beginning. Come on, that's only the beginning of your walk. getting saved so you can go to heaven someday. That's where you start. You start by a radical, total surrender to Jesus, and you ask Him to come into your heart to be Lord and Savior, forgive you of your sins, and you have only just begun. We've only just begun. Amen. There's so much more. But how many know we need to lead our neighbors, our neighborhoods, our cities to Jesus? Come on, somebody say amen. Yes. Somebody say amen. We need revival. Yes. Let me hear you. Boom it out.
Yes.
But it's where it starts. It's where it starts. Because what does He say? We're going to get there in a little while, but what does He say? Go and make disciples. Wow. Wonder what that means. Entitlement. My religion's all for me, right? I want to feel good. I want to feel happy. There's no wrong. Nothing wrong with being happy, feeling good. But how many know walking with Jesus is a lot bigger? It goes from, I just want to be happy and I want to be transformed, to knowing I'm fine, to ministering to someone else. And you've been made whole in Christ, so you've got life to give away. Turn to each other and say, I'm here to give you life. People pick and choose. We pick and choose what we want. We pick and choose what part of the Bible we want. We pick and choose, and you preach surrender, and people look and say, I think I want to go to a happier place. Pick up your cross and follow me. Not a fun theme. Church is to preach the whole counsel of God. How many know, what's the old phrase? The Old Testament, it starts the other way. The New Testament is in the Old, concealed. And the Old Testament is in the New, revealed. Hold up your sword this morning. The Bible calls it the sword. How many know it's the whole thing, the whole counsel of God? You don't tear out some scriptures. We had people that we knew for a long time in Pullman that they only wanted about two or three books out of the New Testament. That's it. That's all they wanted. Don't trouble me with anything else. How many know the whole counsel of God is what you're holding in your hand?
Amen.
You learn the ways, the truth, and the reality of walking with God. You study the Old Testament, you study the New, and thank God the overarching power and grace of God is all through the whole counsel of God. But, do you remember what Paul said to Timothy? He said, study to show yourself approved. But he said, you have known the Scriptures from the time you were a little kid. Now, what do you think he was talking about there? What do you think Paul was talking about? Was the New Testament written? He's talking about the Old Testament. He was talking about the Old Testament with a redeemed understanding and surrendered by grace by the power of the Lord. So in this church, you're going to see Old Testament scriptures used. You're going to see New Testament. But you're saved by grace through faith in Jesus, right? Come on, somebody say that with me. I'm saved by grace through faith in Jesus. Are you grateful?
Amen.
Now punch the other arm and say, I'm grateful. How about you? I want to ask you a question. You want to be a charismatic or do you want to be a disciple of Jesus? They should be hand in hand. They should be hand in hand. But a lot of people don't want discipleship. 2 Timothy. Turn to 2 Timothy 3, 14 through 17. I just referred to the scripture and we're going to see it. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of. Continue in them, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. How many know you're not saved through the Old Testament law and prophets? You're saved by grace. The law was a what? The Bible says a schoolmaster to lead us to Christ. But look at what the Bible says in verse 16. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. Say that first word with me, please, and boom it out.
All.
Say it one more time.
All.
Say it one more time. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be what?
Perfect,
complete, mature, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And remember, all Timothy had to study at that time was the Old Testament. Folks, we've got the Old Testament and the New. We've got the grace of Jesus. Thank God. Are you glad, like me, that we live on this side of the cross? But it's all profitable for us to teach you and to learn and grow and see the Messiah, to understand Jesus. And the Scripture says, study to show yourself approved. Jesus constantly quoted the Old Testament, and the Law and the Prophets were not done away with. They were what? Fulfilled in Jesus. Okay, I'm going to rehearse with you. I'm going to rehearse what I've gone over several times, and we're going to do it one more time. Why do you come to church? And what do you want out of church? Okay, there are several things. Number one, information. You come to church, hopefully get a little information. I try to give you a lot of information. But you hopefully go home having learned something, right, from the Bible.
Amen.
Number two, inspiration. Worship, inspiration, though. You got information and you get inspired. You get inspiration. Hopefully you get inspired when you come to church. Turn to each other and say, you inspire me. Okay. So you get information, you get inspiration. What else do we need? If you're going to have, there you are, if you're going to have something profitable in the Lord for your time, rather than just spending a couple of hours on a Sunday morning, you need what, Pat? Boom it out?
Impartation.
The impartation of the Spirit of the Lord. The impartation of the anointing of God. The impartation of the Word of God grafted into our souls. And what's it result in? Fourth thing? Transformation. You don't even have my notes. Come on up, finish the message. No, you're doing good. Anyway, transformation. I want to be transformed to be like Jesus. I got distance yet to go. Soup's not on. What other analogy do you want to use? I'm not done. I haven't crossed the finish line yet. I'm going to keep running after Jesus. Amen? Keep running after the Lord. Jesus, transform me. Mind of Christ. Heart of Christ. I want to think like you think. I want to act like you think. I want to be just like you in the earth. How many live in Port Ludlow? How many know Port Ludlow needs you to be just like Jesus?
Yes.
How many live in Port Hadlock? How many know Port Hadlock needs you to live just like Jesus? How many live in Port Chimicum? Chimicum needs you to be just like Jesus. How many live in Port Townsend? They really need you to be like... No. Port Townsend needs you to be like Jesus. How many live in Squim and Port Angeles? All right? See, we're a regional church. You see it all around. They need you to be just like Jesus. Do your neighbors look at you and think, I want what they've got. I want the Jesus they've got. Lord, let it be. Let it be. I'm going to cooperate with you so it's like that. Why come to church? Information, inspiration, impartation, transformation. Romans 12, verse 2. You don't have to turn to it. I'll just read it. Romans 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. The word transformed in the Greek is the word metamorpho. Metamorpho. Now, come on, tell me what that sounds like. We get our word metamorphosis. And what does that mean? Transformed, changed, transfigured. When you give your life to Jesus, you're into a walk where He keeps working with you. And you're on a royal journey. All right, church, we are God's colony on earth. God's colony on earth. 6 weeks ago, we're on part three of Philippian faith. Let's rehearse just a little bit. I'm going to tie a lot of things together this morning, and I'm going to end up in a verse in Philippians this morning. because we're going to pick back up and go on. This is Philippians chapter 4, or part 4, and it's called The Power of His Resurrection. All right. Two things I want to remind you of. Remember, in that day, in that culture, when Paul started the book of Philippians, or the church at Philippi, God used the Roman roads. Remember, Romans built incredible roads. The Via Ignatian Way is still going through what used to be Philippi. It's still a road where you can see many parts of it nowadays. They built astronomical roads for several purposes, so their armies could quickly get to conquered areas and keep the peace. So they could send transportation and commerce. And in fact, the missionaries, if they want to call them that, or the apostles, the apostolic people who went around ministering to the churches and raising up churches, had an easier time of transportation in that day than many people have today. Because those roads went to the known world and they were incredible. All right, number two. So that was Rome. What did Greece accomplish? Alexander the Great, what did he accomplish? One of the byproducts of conquering most of the known world. Language. So you had the Romans road and you had the Greek language. And the Bible in the New Testament especially is mostly the Greek language. Everybody had their own local dialects and languages they spoke, but there was a common language. And so they could bring the gospel in Greek and bring the teaching of the Word of God in Greek, and most of the known world would quickly understand it. Absolutely accomplished great things for the body of Christ and the spread of the gospel. All right, what happened? Philippi was a Roman colony. Rome would send out colonies or parties of veteran soldiers. They'd already proved their worth. They'd served for many years. And about 300 of them, plus their families, would go out to some of these conquered areas and they would begin a colony. They had been granted citizenship. And they were strategic centers of commerce along these Roman roads. Usually, these colonies were the focal points of the whole culture in that area. Roads were engineered so, again, the reinforcements could quickly get there. They would move from place to place quickly, but their colonies had one fantastic characteristic. They were literally small pictures and pockets of Rome. They were Roman through and through. Roman pride infilled everything they did. They dressed Roman. They spoke Roman. They would not take on those local characteristics, but they went and colonized, and they were a small picture of Rome right there. Their leaders had Roman titles, and they had Roman customs that were observed. They were utterly and stubbornly Roman. They would never have dreamed about being assembled into the culture where they went. Do you hear something spiritual there, church? Paul uses that picture then in Philippians to say, you are a colony of heaven. Don't even dream of being assimilated by the world. How many know we live in the world, but not of the world? All right? The Ignatian Way, all of that. It was a little Rome. Christians, the name Christian means little Christ. Paul uses that all through. Now, how many know that that Roman colony wasn't just to exist in safety, but to go take heaven to the known earth? Or Rome to the known earth, mixing the metaphors there. But they were a little Roman colony going to transform the cultures into being Roman. We are a colony of heaven, going out as salt and light to impact our world for the kingdom of God. Amen? Are you with me? Ecclesia, say Ecclesia. Ecclesia. It's translated as the word church in all of our Bibles, except maybe a couple of them. And it's not actually an accurate translation. It means called out ones, but it also means congregation or assemblage, an assembling of legislators and people with authority. What is the church in the world today? We are the presence of God in the earth today. We need to lift our vision higher to being what God wants us to be. Remember, the sincerest stamp. Remember that? We talked about that. No wax. Remember that? The Romans, when they began to value such things, would pick up these broken Greek statues, and they would put them back together, some of the artists, and they would cover them over with wax so they all looked like they were fine, and they'd sell them for top dollar. And the Romans would get it home, he'd plant it in his garden, the next hot day, the wax began to what? Melt. So sincere artists would stamp their work, no wax. Sincerus. Paul says to the Philippians, I want you to live sincerely as Christ. The real deal, no wax, nothing's going to melt away in the light of day. You're still going to look like Jesus. Come on, turn to each other and say, let's live like that. He's got wax in his ears. That's the old beans in his ears. All right. Jesus, if you'll turn to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Jesus said, I will build my... Come on, say it with me. I will build my church. Matthew 16, verses 16 through 18. Simon Peter answered and said, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Now understand there are two words here. Peter, the name Peter, is from the Greek word Petros. Say it with me. Petros. It means piece of rock. Now listen. He says, upon this rock I will build my church. And a lot of people have said, so therefore Peter was the first what? Pope. And he's the foundation of the church. Well, the apostles and prophets, the apostles' doctrine, etc., is the foundation of the church. But when he says, upon this rock I'll build my church, he doesn't use the word Petros, piece of rock. He uses the word Petra, mass of rock. Do you hear the difference? A little piece of rock versus mass of rock. On this mass of rock, this revelation of Jesus as the Christ, the way, the truth, and the life, on this massive rock, I will build my church. You hear the difference? It's huge. It's a huge difference. Somebody say, Pastor Kevin, it's huge. I get it. Okay. Now, watch. Verse 18, And I say to you that you are Peter, on this rock I'll build my church, say the last phrase with me, and the gates of Hades, or hell, shall not prevail against it. Many think of that as a defensive statement. The enemy will not be able to victoriously overcome me. That's good news, isn't it? But that's not what it's saying. How many have ever seen gates get up and chase somebody down? Come on, ever seen a gate run down somebody? Gates don't run after people. What does it mean? It means the body of Christ, as the army of God, stands up and it comes against the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of God suffers violence, the Bible says, and the violent take it by force. We are driving out the enemy and we are proclaiming the city gates and the nation and the earth as the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Someone say amen. And the gates of hell cannot prevail against the army of God. You feeling much like a soldier this morning? Church? There are two pictures. We are the sheep of God in His family. But God has called us to be His army to stand victoriously and take the earth for His glory. Wow. Gee, Pastor Kev, what's all that mean? All right, two purposes. Number one, reach out and build my family. Mark 16, verse 15. You can go there if you want. Mark 16, verse 15. And I'm going to get back to this thing, church and ecclesia, in a minute. Mark 16, verse 15 says, And to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. How many love the Great Commission? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. How many know we got a lot more preaching to do and a lot more people to bring to Jesus? Someone say amen. Amen. A lot more people to bring to Jesus. Adam and Eve were given dominion in the Garden of Eden, and he told them, be fruitful and multiply. How many know they fell into sin? You remember that? Did they fulfill God's commission? But in Christ, we are told, go out, be fruitful and multiply, bring in the family. I want a family. He's going to reestablish and reform and build his family. That's one purpose. But the other purpose of God is to go disciple the nations. Matthew 28, turn there please. Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Go therefore, Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20. Go therefore to Matthew 28. Go therefore and make, say it with me, disciples. Some of you may have a version that says, teach the nations. It literally means make disciples of who? Of all nations. It's not just saying go into your neighborhood and reach your neighbor. It's saying now, I want a purpose that's higher than you think. I want you living as the victorious army and family of God, but the army of God who goes out and disciples, reaches, transforms nations. Baptizing them in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. The army of God is to wage effective spiritual warfare and reach the nations for God. There's authority in the body of Christ to take authority over demonic powers, principalities and powers, and to see God move and establish his kingdom on earth as it is where? Now, you pray that all the time, don't you?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah.
You mean it's not just that that's going to happen when you're in heaven? Let me use an illustration here about ecclesia. A couple of minutes more. I'm really wanting to lay some framework and some foundation for our thinking. The word ecclesia is translated church in most of our Bibles, right on down to King James, and it's not a bad word, it's a great word, we all understand what it means to go to church, etc., etc., etc. But in the original language, it wasn't the word church, it was assembly. Assembly of called out people, a people of authority. And its picture was not a religious word, its picture was a governmental word. A crier would go out and cry out that they're gathering at the gates, the ecclesia, you're called out to come and gather with us in your authority, and let's see what we're going to determine and decree as a community, as a nation. The word church came in vogue, and if you look it up in your definitions, refers first to the building. The church, the ecclesia, is the people of God. Invested with the authority of God. King James did a great work when he did the King James Version. He commissioned people to do it. But did you know, and I looked this up again this morning, did you know that he commissioned his people and gave them 15 edicts? The third one literally was, he told this group of people, you are not to translate the ecclesia as congregation, the congregation of the Lord, invested with authority, you are to translate that as church. Because church meant the building, and it meant the king still had control. Instead of the people of God having authority over the others. That may sound subtle to you, it's huge. It was all about control. The Pope and the Catholics had been kicked out. He wanted to be the head. And he said, I'm not going to let you translate this ecclesia, full of meaning, as anything but church, which carries the building with it, and I have authority in the land. How many of you know? I'm going to say something very directly, and I don't care if you like R or D or I, government politics. How many know that God is in control from heaven? And we are to be a part of bringing his kingdom where? On earth, as it is in heaven. The church lost its voice because Christians sat home and let somebody else take over the reins instead of rising up and standing for moral truth and life and freedom from sin. How many know we got sin in our country? We need to be washed clean by the blood of Jesus if there's to be any hope for America. And the church needs to do its part to vote with righteousness. Is that radical for you this morning?
Yeah.
Some of those yahoos in Washington, D.C. need to go home.
That's right.
Amen.
It's true. It's true. We pray for them, though. The Bible instructs us and commands us to pray for them. But we have a responsibility and get to exercise the right to vote, and we need to. So that's how that word came about, ecclesia. So you can build the family and be a great sheep grazing in the grass of God and enjoy the house of the Lord, but God also wants you to be a soldier in the army of God, rising up to take authority over demons and principalities and powers and release the land for the Spirit of God and revival and the kingdom of God to be established. How many want to be a part of that? Are you coming or are you going? Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. I don't know if I want to answer you anymore, Pastor Kev. Matthew 6, 9 through 13. Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13. Please read it with me, would you? In this manner, therefore, pray. And you've all prayed this over and over again. Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13. Say it with me. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom, your kingdom, one more time, what's that say? Your kingdom come, your will be done, where? I'm sorry, no, this surely means things are going to be great in heaven. I mean, that's what that means, and they are going to be great in heaven. Anybody know that? You bet. But it says, Jesus instructed us how to pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You pray it all the time. But are you looking more toward packing your bags and going? Or are you looking to stay and bring the kingdom of God on earth in as much time as we've got? How many know? We're living in the last days, folks. I believe it. I don't know what's going to happen when. All I know is I want to be ready. Come on, somebody say, be ready.
Be ready.
Be ready. But in every waking moment I've got left, Jesus, I want to live for you and be a part of bringing your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. How many know we need a lot of Spirit-filled Christians absolutely alive to Jesus, Bible-believing people in arts and entertainment? Come on, how many know that? I'm praying for some of these people who are influencers over our society. They're just demonically depraved. And I'm praying, Lord, transform them, save them, so there's whole generations of people see that Jesus can change lives. How many thank God for TiVo?
Amen.
Hey, come on, how many thank God for this guy? He's kneeling down and praying, and everybody's critical. Why are you critical? Thank God the public marketplace is seeing somebody kneeling and thanking God. What's to be critical about? Thank God. I pray Lady Gaga gets saved and Madonna gets saved and all the country people and even the rapsters and, you know, save them, Lord. Arts and entertainment. Banking, commerce. Anybody know there needs to be influencers for Jesus Christ? How many know that our commerce and our country could use a little more honesty and integrity? Someone say amen or oh no. You know, every realm. What realm? Every realm needs to be taken over for the kingdom of God. Pastor Kev, that's a big vision. I tell you what, I see the Olympic Peninsula with hands up raised worshiping Jesus Christ, washed by the power of the blood of Jesus. I see Washington State redeemed. I see the nation saved. I see the earth filled with the glory of the Lord. How many want to be a part of filling Port Lando and every port around the storm with the presence of God? Oh God, it's going to take an army who rises up that does warfare against the demons of hell and sends them fleeing in the name of Jesus. And brings His kingdom on earth. As it is in heaven. Gee, Pastor Kev, you get a little worked up this morning. I think it's worth getting worked up about, don't you?
Yes, amen.
How many know your neighbor needs to see you worked up?
Yes.
Coming or going? Well, Lord, in every waking moment I have, every breath I have, I want to live for Your glory. Bring Your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Pastor Kev, I'm a sheep. I just want to be safe. I just want to graze. But you know, the gospel is bigger than that. You know that, don't you?
Yeah.
It's bigger than just you being touched. It's turning you into a victorious presence for Jesus so other people all around you are changed and moved by the Spirit of God. It moves from one to the other. It's not bad to have the one, but it's a lot bigger than being just sheep into being warriors for the grace of God. Thought I was hearing some more. Thought I was hearing, yeah, rams roaring. Right? And the Lord saying amen. That's just the Lord saying amen. Ever hear of the phrase conduct becoming? Or conduct unbecoming? How many were in the military here? Okay, a few of you admit it. Conduct becoming. Let's turn to Philippians. Just a few more minutes. Conduct becoming. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. And I want to read verse 27. Because these themes are all through Paul's letter to the Philippians and all through the New Testament. Philippians chapter 1. Verse 27. You're His sheep, but you're army soldiers in the army of God. Pick up your spiritual weaponry. Put on the armor of God, Ephesians tells us. And be a part of bringing dominion for Jesus Christ. Philippians 1, verse 27. Only let your conduct, I'm reading from the New King James, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. So that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs. You stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. If you remember back to the messages we preached on Philippians, Paul's in jail in Rome. He established Philippians, the church at Philippi, 10 years earlier. Now it's 63 A.D. He's in Rome waiting to go on trial. He has last, where we left off, said, I'm looking forward to coming, or if I go, I might be going to see the Lord. Staying is more effective for you, but either way, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord and I'm ready. And so he is saying in this verse, I may not make it back to you, but I want to know that you're standing fast for the gospel and your whole life is being lived. You have conduct becoming a citizen of the kingdom of God. Say it with me. I am a citizen of the kingdom of God. Listen to this out of the New Living. Philippians 1 verse 27, New Living. Above all, it's very accurate according to the Greek, you must live as citizens of heaven. How many like being American? You got rights? We like them. We use them. We miss some of them. You're a citizen of heaven. First and foremost, live like it. That's what Paul's saying. Conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. That whether I come and see you again or I only hear about you, I will know that you are standing side by side, fighting together for the faith, which is the good news. Kingdom talk. Not just sheep talk. Sheep talk's good. But victorious army of the Lord talk is essential. Being soldiers and citizens of the kingdom of God. The word King James, conversation, is politeuomai. Politeuomai. and it means to behave as a citizen. Barnes tells us that the word is all about their political understanding, administering the state, leading the state. How many know when you're in charge of something, you live a little differently than if you're not? Ever been in charge of anything? How many know the governor needs to live right as a governor? The president. Let's just go right to it, folks. The president needs to live as the president who's called by God. I'm not sure we've had any president yet that did it. But we need to pray God raises up righteous men and women into leadership. We really do. It says, live at all times like you're a citizen of the kingdom. Then it says, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And that word, striving together, is sunathleo. And it literally sounds athletic. Sunathleo, athleo. And it means to wrestle in company with. Wrestling together. We're on the same team, wrestling together, jointly seeking the victory, the presence, the kingdom of God to come on earth as it is in heaven. Wrestling with the spirits that control our communities. Sending them running in the name of Jesus. And believing the blood of Jesus will prevail and an open heaven will come. People who get saved in the kingdom of God will be set up. What's your belief? I'm just packing my bags to go? Or I'm being part of bringing His kingdom on earth for every waking moment I've got. Your home, your neighborhood, your school, your job, retirement community. Philippians 1, 28 through 30. And not in any way terrified by your adversaries. Again, he understood spiritual warfare, right? They were under suffering and persecution, which is to them a proof of perdition. In other words, you reigning in life, having the authority, living the authority of your life, in front of these people who are trying to put you down, you not being terrified, gives a whole host of witness to them. But to you of salvation, and that from God, for to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in Him, but also to what? I had one person boom that out. Thank you, Dan. Also to what? Suffer for His sake. Having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here in me. Be aware of the demonic hordes. Be aware of the enemies. There's a striving. There's a wrestling together against them. These are all victory metaphors for the army of God. You're not just a gentle sheep, but you're invested with authority by the Holy Spirit. When you walk in the room, do you understand that Jesus and His Holy Spirit just walked into that room with you, in you? I'm not telling you you're Jesus, but who lives inside of you? Do you understand how big He is? Do you understand how powerful the power of His resurrection is? Do you understand what He accomplished for you in His death, His burial, and His resurrection? Do you understand how powerful His Word is? How powerful His Holy Spirit is? Do you understand how great it is you've been washed clean by the blood of Jesus? Do you understand you can send the devil fleeing in the name of Jesus? Resist the devil. He will what? Flee from you. Walk in the power of His resurrection. What's it look like? How do we live? We live differently. Victorious. Alive. What comes out of our mouth is alive. We heal. We bring life. We bring strength and help and all sorts of things that I'm preaching to me too. Little known story happened on 9/11. The Pentagon was bombed, as you know. And there was a chaplain who later told this story that never got picked up by the newspapers. It was powerful. There was a daycare center near where the point of impact took place. The daycare center had a lot of children and infants in heavy cribs. The daycare supervisor, after the explosions occurred and the attack had happened, looked around and he knew these kids have to be evacuated and felt absolutely helpless to do so. They were mostly toddlers and infants that would need to be taken out with the cribs. The place was burning. what else was going to happen. There was no time to try to bundle them up and into carriers and strollers. There just wasn't time. Just then, a young Marine came running in and he asked, "What do you need?" After hearing what the center director was trying to do, the Marine ran out and ran away. And the director said, "I guess the job was too big. There's too much to do. We're on our own." About 2 minutes later, the Marine returned with 40 other Marines. Each of them grabbed a child and a crib, and the rest started gathering up the toddlers. The director and the staff helped them take the children out, down toward the park near the Potomac and the Pentagon. And once they got about 3/4 of a mile away from the building, she watched this without anyone say or bark out an instruction. They stopped in the park and they formed a circle, just like the covered wagons in the Old West. And they put the kids inside the circle and they stood facing out so no one could harm them and those kids would be secure until their parents came to find them. The chaplain leader said, "I don't think anybody had a dry eye anywhere close to the place as those men and women stood there at attention, protecting these little ones, barely having been asked for help. They just immediately sprang into action and brought life." Ronald Reagan had a quote, "Most of us wonder if our lives make any difference." And he said, "Marines don't have that problem." We're surrounded by people and their hearts and their lives are burning. And they're going to hell. We're surrounded by people whose lives have been infested with drugs and poverty and brokenness and divorce and disease. And they absolutely have no understanding of how to get out of the burning building. But they should be able to look and say, "Wait, the Christians are here. They know what to do. The army of the Lord sees the need and moves out from being sheep to being warriors to help people find victory." The army of the Lord, you, me, take up your cross daily and follow Him. Take up your sword daily and follow Him. Open your eyes and see the need around us and let them say, "We couldn't believe it. They just sprang into action. And now I know Jesus. Now I'm forgiven and I may not ever be a millionaire, but I know there are people who have shown me the way to Jesus." What does it look like, church? Ecclesia, if we really are who Jesus wants us to be. It looks like the power of His resurrection. Would you stand, Elaine? Would you come? If you're here this morning and you've not actually surrendered your life to Jesus, I urge you, let this be the day you do so. Come on up front. It will be an honor to pray for you. If you have needs in your life, healing power is real, and we believe God, and we pray with you, releasing the blessing of God. If you have something on your heart you want to talk about, pray about, we'll be honored to do that. But church, go out today in the presence of God, knowing that you're His army. Knowing that you're invested with His power and His Spirit. Knowing that the people all around you need you to live like Him. Number 6, 24 through 26. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you His favor and give you His peace. And we look forward, O God, to revival breaking out through this region, through our state, through our nation, throughout the earth.
Yes.
We trust You, we thank You, and we believe You. And all the people said,
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Have a fantastic day in the Lord, Army of God.